Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 18, perfection of renunciation, text number 77. Tatcha samsritya samsritya. Urupam adya bhutam hare. Vishmayo me mahan rajan. Rishami cha punak punak. Tatcha samsritya samsritya. Rupam adya bhutam hare. Vishmayo me maharanjan. Rishami cha punak punak. Tat. That. Cha. Also, samsmritya, remembering. Samsmritya, remembering. Rupam, form. Ati, greatly. Adbhutam, wonderful. Hare, of Lord Krishna. Vismaya, wonder. May, my, Mahan, great, Rajan, O King, Rishami, I am enjoying, Cha, also, Punaha, Punaha, repeatedly. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. O King, as I remember the wonderful form of Lord Krishna, I am struck with wonder more and more, and I rejoice again and again. Purport. It appears that Sanjaya also, by the grace of Vyas, could see the universal form of Krishna exhibited to Arjuna. It is, of course, said that Lord Krishna never exhibited such a form before. It was exhibited to Arjuna only. Yet some great devotees could also see the universal form of Krishna when it was shown to Arjuna, and Vyas is one of them. He is one of the great devotees of the Lord, and he is considered to be a powerful incarnation of Krishna. Vyas discloses to his disciple Sanjaya, remember that universal form of Krishna exhibited to Arjuna and enjoyed it repeatedly. Tatcha samsritya rupamadya bhutam hare vishmayo me mahan rajan rishami cha punak punak. O King, as I remember the wonderful form of Lord Krishna, I am struck with wonder more and more, and I rejoice again and again. In the previous verse, Sanjaya was talking about remembering the conversation between Krishna and Arjuna. And he was taking pleasure at every moment. And now he's remembering the universal form, and he's becoming ever more struck with wonder. Therefore, Bhagavad Gita has the direction to become a pure devotee of Krishna, and also the revelation that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Basically, the Bhagavad Gita is a book aimed at convincing the conditioned soul that Krishna is God and that we should surrender unto Him in pure devotional service. And that's the instructions, but to practically show that He's God in order to defeat any speculation, Krishna also revealed the universal form, which is not possible for an ordinary person to exhibit. It would be hard to exhibit a form where you had Brahma, where you could see Brahma sitting on the lotus flower. You see all the divine snakes at the bottom of the universe. You see Krishna devouring the soldiers on the battlefield, Kurukshetra, fire coming from his mouth. It would be hard to imitate that. So when they try to imitate Krishna in the Rasa Leela, but it would be hard to imitate Krishna in the universal form, effectively. In any case, generally speaking, Arjuna's reaction to the universal form was anything but wonder or ecstatic. He was actually quite fearful. But Sanjaya, who wasn't personally present, when he saw it in revelation, he was ever more struck with wonder, remembering it. Because after all, by remembering Krishna in the form of the universal form, one becomes completely convinced that Krishna is the all-powerful, supreme personality of Godhead. Everyone is fearful in the material world because they don't actually know who's in control. As a matter of fact, we've been told that there's no one in control, which is quite fearful because we don't know what's going to happen the next moment. And we don't know why it's going to happen. If everything is, as it says, asatyam apratishtam te jagat ahur anishvaram aparashvaram sambhutyam kimanyakama haitukam. The demoniac, they say that the world is unreal. It has no foundation. It has no God in control. It is produced of sex desire and has no other cause than lust. So if it's Anishvara, there's no control, then what's going to happen to this the next moment is just completely arbitrary. If we drive in a car, at any moment someone can hit our car and kill us, and there's no rhyme or reason to the whole thing. It just happened. Similarly, we're here now, and we could be anywhere the next moment just by accident. So the whole materialistic conception that there's no controller, there's no God, everything is going on accidentally, creates simply fear in the minds of everyone. But Bhagavad Gita is meant to defeat this atheistic propaganda that Krishna doesn't, there is no God. As a matter of fact, in the 11th chapter, Krishna reveals himself as time. Kalosmi lokashe krit pravrido lokansa maharte miha pravritak itepi dvam nava vishanti sarve evastita pratnukeshi yoda. Time I am, Krishna says, the destroyer of the worlds. I have come here to engage all these people, except for you, the Pandavas. Everyone here on both sides will be slain. From our very practical experience, we can see that things are not going on accidentally. Things are going on under the direction of time. And time is an element which, although changes everything in the universe, doesn't itself change at all. Therefore, in this material world, time is supreme. Because although the material nature is being affected by time, it hasn't the least influence on time, the material energy. As the material nature has no influence actually on ourselves, because we've gone through so many material experiences, and yet we're exactly the same as we were when we started. Similarly, time has affected the material nature in so many different ways, but time has not been affected at all. Time is not growing older, becoming weaker, and soon time will die. Time is affecting changes in all the whole material universe, and yet time is not at all affected by all the changes it's making. So therefore, time is supreme, and the universal form itself is time, Krishna says. Time I am. So though it may appear that so many different energies are going on here, earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego, but they're all moving under the direction of kala, or time. Just like you may have a puppet, and you may be playing with a puppet, but actually the puppet has no life to its own. It only appears to be life because there's someone playing with the puppet through the strings. Similarly, even above the three modes of material nature, which is changing, which is manifesting itself in so many different forms of material nature, even above that is time, which is manipulating the three modes, just like a puppeteer manipulates the strings on a puppet. And that time is identified as one of Krishna's energies in the material world, moving under his directions. Therefore, when we can see time working, we'll also be struck with wonder how Krishna, through his energy of time, can change everything, and not he himself is aloof from it, and time itself also is unaffected, as we're unaffected. So basically speaking, we're seeing a whole drama unfolding in front of us, manifested through Krishna's energy, through the working of his energy called time, of which he's an observer, and factually, all we are is an observer also, but we're entangled because we're taking it seriously, and therefore desiring to make so many arrangements in the material world. But as soon as one gives up this desire to manipulate the material nature, and instead wants to utilize it in Krishna's service, then the result is that one also becomes an observer, just like Krishna is an observer. And one can see how Krishna's internal energy helps to deliver other conditioned souls from the ignorance of the material concept of life. But one has to become an instrument for Krishna. In other words, either this material body works under time, or it works under the internal energy. In any case, it has to work under Krishna's energy. When it works under the influence of Maya or time, or Krishna's manifesting the three modes through time, then the result is we become bewildered into material consciousness and identification. But when we agree to utilize, that Krishna can utilize his energies under internal energy, then we're unaffected by the three modes of material nature, and the changing time will not bewilder us. How this body's changing, how the material nature is changing, won't be bewildering to us because we can see not only that we're eternal, but everything spiritual and material is moving under Krishna's direction. As Prabhupada said in one of his last purports, that's called Krishna consciousness. In any case, we don't really have to see the universal form. We're already looking at the universal form. If you want to see more of it, you can stay around for the next Kali Yuga, right, when Krishna exhibits it to Arjuna again. But it's really not necessary. We've seen enough of the universal form. Understand it's not a very desirable form to hanker to see. When Krishna changed Arjuna's vision, when Arjuna asked to have his vision changed so he could see the universal form, actually the change of vision was a lowering of his consciousness from spiritual to material. Arjuna already had spiritual vision, but when he wanted to see the universal form, he had to have demigod vision, which is actually material vision. So we have neither demigod vision nor spiritual vision, but there's no sense hankering for demigod vision. Better to hanker for spiritual vision. Because even if one is involved in the universal form, as all these warriors are, it's all temporary. One moment we're a soldier being devoured by Krishna, or we may be some demigod sitting on some lotus flower, or whatever else. What is that? Tam evalasthanastam vishins charavam rugam chadivyam. Arjuna Vacha Pashami Devam Savadeva Dehe Saram Tata Buddha Vishesha Sangan Pramanam Isham Kamalasanastam Rishim Sri Sarvam Urugam Sri Devyam. Arjuna said, my dear Lord, I see assembled in your body all the demigods and various other living entities. I see Brahma sitting on the lotus flower, as well as Lord Shiva and all the sages and divine serpents. So it must be an interesting vision, but it's a waste of time. Whether Lord Brahma is on the lotus flower or on a peacock, it's not going to make any difference. We still have to go through old age, disease, and death. Only when we become Krishna conscious are these actual problems of life solved, seeing Brahma or Lord Shiva or the demigods or whatever else. It's not going to help us very much. Although it might be interesting. Tatcha samsmita samsmita. We may become completely absorbed in such remembrance, but ultimately it won't save us at the time of leaving this body. So I'll stop there. Any questions? Yes.
Do we know what happened to Sanjaya at the end?
He dies. Well, he accompanied Dhritarashtra into the forest. Actually, he didn't accompany. Dhritarashtra left him behind in the palace. He left without telling Sanjaya. I mean, Sanjaya is a great devotee. I'm sure he went back to the spiritual world eventually. Anyone who could hear the Bhagavad Gita directly from Krishna is not going to stick around in the material world. Hearing the Bhagavad Gita sufficiently once to... Yes?
So you mentioned how time, Krishna being the time, and then destroys the material world. Does he manifest as time in the spiritual world as well?
Yes, time is an energy in the spiritual world too. But it says it's conspicuous by its absence. I mean, time is there in the spiritual world to serve Radha and Krishna's pastimes. Therefore, if they want, they can extend their particular pastime indefinitely. So they say they're having their noon pastime, meeting by Surya Kund, and they like it, so they can extend it trillions of lifetimes of Brahma. Time is under their control. They're not being controlled by time. If they like some food, they can eat it, and eternally it tastes better and better and better. They're not limited by any kind of material conception of time. So there's no, the days of this Krishna's pastimes and the nights, they're not under the influence of material time, but by spiritual time they're unlimitedly flexible. Just like it said, even here when Krishna danced with the gopis, they danced for one night. But that night, as Prabhupada writes in the Krishna book, was the night of Brahma. 4,300,000 years times 1,000. 4,300,000,000 years Krishna danced with the gopis that night. That's where the song came from. I could have danced all night. That night was... Anything else? Yes.
Maharaj, you mentioned that materialists are full of fear because they think nobody is controlling everything that happened according to previous experience. Probably. But how should Bibi release that fear, because Krishna can do anything he wants?
But we should be fearful also. Otherwise we'll become negligent of Krishna consciousness. So fear is, for the devotee, it helps the devotee remember Krishna. And for the non-devotee also, fear is an energy Krishna is employing to make people serious about surrendering to him. Because without fear, no one's going to take anything seriously. people are trying to get out of fear by so many arrangements, but we can see no one has succeeded at all with all these elaborate arrangements they made. Is anyone free from fear in the material world? They have all these arrangements for hospitals and ambulances and doctors and operations and diagnostic machines and insurance and this and that, and everyone's 100 times more fearful than they were before. Now they're fearful about having to go to the hospital. If you want to get sick, then just go to a hospital. If you want to one of the biggest risks of dying is to go to a hospital. In America, the third leading cause of death is prescribed medicine. Anything else? Thank you very much. Krantaraj Shrimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.